Welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis. Keep listening to hear how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or a troublesome issue you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. Lines open right now, 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, oftentimes I just want to know why I feel the way I feel.
I would like to know that too.
I get down, I get anxious, sometimes I get angry. And you just, you know, in the middle of that, and you say, how did I get these feelings? Where did these come from?
Yeah.
And I think the Word of God gives a very simple explanation. We feel something because we think something.
Right.
That's why the Word of God is always talking about renewing our minds. Mm-hmm. Paul tells us that in Romans chapter 12. Richard, I think that's your favorite verse,
yeah.
Romans 12, 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. The fact that we're not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We need to change the way we think and what we think. That's why Paul in Philippians said, think on these things. Things that are lovely and pure and right. And as we think upon those things, then our emotions are going to follow suit. So God has designed us that way for our emotions to respond to what is going on in our minds of ours. And when we can get our thinking right, then our feelings are going to follow suit.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's good news. That's why Jesus said the truth will set you free.
Yes, indeed.
Free from what? Emotional bondage. Mm-hmm. If you're suffering from emotional bondage, if you've asked the question, why in the world am I feeling the way I'm feeling right now? Let's talk about it on today's program. We would love to hear from you.
1-800-677-9377. Give us a call. The lines are open right now, and we await them. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Lexington, Kentucky, and talk with Don, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, Don.
How you doing?
Doing fine.
Good. I'm asking a question about the Old Testament. I was wondering what the word abomination meant in the Old Testament, and was it used in the New Testament? And if so, for what?
Well, there's, you know, I think Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 12 talk about an abomination. Something that is an abomination is something that is offensive, something that is objectionable, and the abomination of desolation, something that prophecy buffs really latch onto, is a time where, quote, the Antichrist is going to go into the temple and desecrate the temple, and that is known as the abomination of desolation. Right, Richard?
Yes. And it depends on, you know, what form of prophecy school you're from. One example of that abomination was when Antiochus Epiphanes took over Jerusalem and went into the temple and offered a pig on the altar, which was about the worst thing you could do in a Jewish context. So it's that form of something so horrible that it would make the people just recoil in horror, because it's a terrible, terrible thing. And when you see the word used in the Old Testament quite often, you see it in that kind of context. It's just, you know, people who do these kinds of things, whatever the list is, are an abomination to the rest of the people. They're an abomination to God. I'm not quite sure if it's the same idea in the New Testament.
Well, the New Testament in Matthew chapter 24 and Mark 13, the writers there go back and quote that passage from Daniel. It's given in context of Jesus' discourse to the disciples about what was up ahead. When you see this happening, flee for the hills, those sort of things. And it says, when you see this abomination of desolation that causes desolation, that's, you know, one of the signs of the end times. And then the book of Revelation uses the word as well. But those are the only times in the New Testament. Don, what specifically were you wanting to find out about that? What's underneath that question of yours?
As a man and a man being together, I thought it was used in that term, a woman and a woman together.
Yes, in the Old Testament, those are some of the behaviors that are described in those terms.
It's an abomination.
Mm-hmm.
Because it goes against what God put in place, the order that God arranged for things to be and how they were to function. That would be an abomination. And the ultimate abomination was, going into the temple. And what was happening there, what will happen there, is somebody else will go in, Antichrist, saying, I'm God. So they are going to make a claim about their divinity, their so-called divinity, and try to divert attention and worship to them. That's the abomination. That goes against the very first commandment, to have no other images before God, don't worship idols, that sort of thing. That is at the root of all sin, going away from the one true God, latching on to false gods. And there's going to be a time when that really takes center stage, and somebody is going to say, I am the one true God, and he's going to make that claim, and that's going to be the abomination, and that goes against the order of things.
A man and a woman being together, a man and a man being together, and a woman and a woman being together, term as abomination? I thought that was used.
And well, that's what Richard said. That was used.
Yeah, I realized that, but I was wondering with the new covenant. Is still considered an abomination?
Well, Don, sin is sin is sin. And yeah, sin
every sin is an abomination.
Right. Every sin is an abomination. But Jesus Christ has stepped into our shoes and has taken the punishment. And that punishment has covered all of our sins. So when we come to Christ by faith, we receive that forgiveness. We receive life, God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. We've been given a new heart, a heart that can love God, respond to God, and live out God's ways in this world. We become changed people. That's why it says you must be born again. So we've been set free from sin and death and raised to walk in the newness of life. That's what this gospel message is all about. But any sin is still an abomination toward God. It's a sin against God.
Any sin.
Yeah, yes. And his justice was served at the cross. And so because his justice was satisfied, he now has become the justifier of those who have faith in Jesus Christ. He declares us to be not guilty in his sight and gives us righteousness. That's good news, isn't it? Well, I hope that helps, Don. Appreciate your call. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer.
And we're off and running on this edition of Basic Gospel. We have open lines, 1-800-677-9377. And if you'd like to get a copy of The Hurt and the Healer by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley, why, we would encourage you to go to basicgospel.net to request your copy and make your gift. It's for yours for a gift of any amount at this particular time. The Hurt and the Healer, yours right now for a gift of any amount at basicgospel.net or by calling 1-800-727-2828. Bob, tell the listeners who don't know yet exactly what this book is about.
Well, this book is about finding healing through the grace of God. Not physical healing, but spiritual healing, soulish healing, healing of the mind. We go through all sorts of pain in life. We all hurt, and we want to know where God is in the midst of that hurt. Well, this book answers that question, and it gives some very practical handles on how to lean into God's grace and experience healing and power through those difficult circumstances in life, and even do so in such a way where you rise above them. It doesn't mean those circumstances leave you. It doesn't mean everything is going to be peachy keen. It just means that you have a source to go to and in him you find comfort and peace in the midst of whatever you're going through.
Right. The hurt and the healer, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock. Open lines. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, let's travel out to the West Coast, Orange County, California, and talk to Tina listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Tina.
Hello, Bob and Bob and Richard. It's really good to speak with you again, and I really like your subject today. And I had a question about exactly what you're speaking about, finding grace and the comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you sit in the doctor's chair and he tells you, okay, the bad news, and then you walk away and you go, okay, at what point am I not sinning if I grieve over this? Or I really don't want to cry a whole bunch, but it's just like, when can I just, I got the comfort of people around me, but sometimes you just go, okay, when am I allowed to express this sadness and or how much? Or, you know what I mean?
Well, Tina, right now, you're yeah. allowed to do it right now.
Without sinning, though. I mean, without not being faith in Jesus Christ to, you know, for everything. You know, when are you supposed to fuck up?
Tina, you know? You know, the faith in Jesus Christ doesn't necessarily mean those emotional pains just diminish immediately. It's not a magic formula, not a magic wand, not a magic pill, this life that we have in Christ. We've been given emotions, and emotions aren't bad. They're good. Sometimes we have emotions that aren't based on truth, and that's why Jesus says that we need to renew our minds. If I sin today and I can feel that God's a million miles away, I can feel that he's probably disgusted with me or at some point is going to take out his anger on me. But none of those feelings are based on truth. Those are thoughts of error that aren't in the Word of God. And so when my mind gets renewed and I understand that God really loves me, that the punishment for my sin went upon Jesus, and that in Christ I've been reconciled, that I belong to God, and that truth starts working in my mind, it starts changing the way I think, and those feelings start to change. But when you've been delivered some news, and I assume that's what's happened here with you, Tina, you've heard a diagnosis from the doctor, that's truth. And there's all kinds of emotions that are going to well up inside of you. And those emotions are okay. It simply says in the Bible, for example, concerning anger, in your anger, sin not. In other words, you don't want to let anger to control you at that point in time. But you can be angry and say, God, this just makes me mad. You know, why did it happen to me? And in that discourse and in those questions, I think you find what God's grace is all about, and you find his grace to be sufficient. I mean, you don't want to be a phony. You don't want to be a hypocrite with God. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling. So in this regard, just be you. Just let those emotions come out, and in that, I think you will experience the healing that you're really looking for as far as peace in the midst of this. You want to know that God really cares about you and that he's going to walk with you through this ordeal, and he's not afraid of those questions. He's a big boy, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Tina, my dad passed away a number of years ago. It was sudden. He got up out of bed and early in the morning and walked down the hallway and had a heart attack, fell against the wall and, a big thud. My mom heard it and came, and she looked at him, and she knew immediately he was gone. They came and tried to revive him and do everything that they could, but he was pronounced dead on arrival at the hospital, and it was sudden, it was quick, it was unexpected, and we had all of those questions of why, and we just gathered together as a family, and we looked at each other and said, you know, let's don't try to pretend, you know, this hurts, and we're going to experience pain, and there's going to be days where we just want to cry, and there's going to be days where we're going to say, God, why did you take them so soon? And let's just let those come out. And when we did, we found healing, and we found the grace of God to truly be sufficient to meet the needs of our heart. And didn't take away the pain of missing him, didn't take away any of that, but we experienced comfort and compassion from our Lord and Savior. And that same comfort and compassion is available to you.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate all that you've done and your ministry has meant in our lives. And we visit you every Sunday morning, and we have a great fellowship here in Laguna Niguel with Scott. And I mean, just it's great to have the fellowship and the brothers and sisters that are with us. And like you said, it's all about Jesus Christ and letting that happen. I really appreciate your words today, Bob, so much.
Well, thank you, Tina. And God bless you as you go through this. And however we can help and serve and be there to journey with you, please let us know, okay?
I sure will.
Okay.
Thank you.
You hang on, Tina. I'll put you on hold.
Thanks, Tina.
Well, let's go to the Bronx and talk with Everton, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Everton.
Hi, good evening to the B's and the R. And the R.
That's right. Two B's and an R right here.
B and the rest of the staff.
Yeah. How can we help you today, my friend?
Just want to ask you, you know, really the topic you're on today, but just want to, I mean, if I'm reading like the verse that says, let God arise. Okay, isn't that a fulfill verse? Wouldn't that fulfill? When I'm reading, if I'm reading that, what should I say? What should I, you know? I mean, should I think it's already fulfilled?
What the a passage that says, "Let God arise."
Let God arise. Uh huh.
And you would think that would be fulfillment.
Fulfilled word, yes.
The sense that Christ Jesus was raised from the dead?
Well, yeah, and I know that. I know.
Yeah. Okay. So, like in Psalm, it says, arise, Lord, and come to your resting place. Are those sort of passages you're looking for? Or?
Yeah. I think if it's also there, let God arise and let the enemy scatter or something, you know, like that one, too.
Well, God has certainly proven himself victorious over all of our enemies, and he's proven that through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. When Jesus cried out, it is finished, his work against sin and death came to its completion, and the battle was won right there, and the proof of that was the resurrection of Christ. And it's when we come to faith in him that Christ arises in our hearts and takes up his rightful place inside of us. And the victory that he won in death and resurrection becomes ours. And that's the good news. And so what we read in the Old Testament is information and words and imageries that foreshadow what we were going to experience in Christ. As the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 10, the law is a shadow of the good things that are coming. The realities are found in Jesus. So everything David wrote in the Psalms, he was pointing forward to the person and work of Christ and what we were going to experience through faith in him. And one of the things that we experience is his victory.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I was kind of thinking I wouldn't like to be reading so it is written here now. Even though I read it, let's say I'm going through the Psalms and I'm reading that, I already know.
Yes, that's exactly right. You already know that those Psalms have found their fulfillment in Christ.
For the fear, yes.
Yeah. Great question,
okay,
Everton.
Yes. Thank you very much. Yes.
Hey, thanks for your call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Anthony in the Bronx listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Anthony.
Hello. How are you?
Doing fine, thank you. Nice to hear from you today.
Okay. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday when they were saying that you couldn't lose your salvation, and I understand that the scripture said that Jesus died for past, present, and future sins. Is that correct? Is your understanding?
He died for all sins, and that would be past, present, and future as far as we're concerned. Of course, when he died 2,000 years ago, all of our sins were in the future, but he looked down the corridor of time, saw each and every one, took each and every one upon himself, stood in our shoes, took the punishment that we justly deserved. So when we come to him by faith, we receive forgiveness of sins. And at that moment, we will never, ever, ever, ever be more forgiven than that very moment when we received him. Why? Because we received all the forgiveness that he had for us.
Even without repentance for any new sin?
When you've come to Christ, you've repented of that old way of life. You've died in Christ, and now you've been buried in Christ, and now you've been raised to walk up in the to live in the newness of life. That's the salvation process. So that repentance that took place at conversion is a big word. It's not just a one-time type of thing. It's something that took place that has continual effects in our lives. When we've come to Christ, we're constantly saying no to the old way of life and yes to the new way of life in Jesus.
But it is possible to sin, and I have. I mean, unintentionally and intentionally. You know, I mean,
I've done it as well. I've sinned unintentionally, and I've sinned intentionally. But every time I do, regardless of whether it was intentional or unintentional, God's Spirit takes me right back to the cross of Jesus Christ, and he says, there, he who knew no sin became sin for you, so that you might become the righteousness of God. That sin doesn't fit with who you are now. Are you willing?
Even though you committed it and didn't repent from it manually.
Well, Anthony, what's your definition of repentance? See, I
just,
hear
I
that,
just say,
and
God,
I just
forgive me. I know I was wrong. God, please forgive me. And
to me, that's to me that's kind of a. There's lost people that do that, and it's just a formula. It means nothing. But when the Holy Spirit starts working with you, that's when real change happens. And so we're trying to reduce Christianity to a formula. What do I do when I sin? Well, here's what I do. I have to feel sorry for it. I have to repent of it. Then I have to ask God to forgive me, and then I move on. So when I sin, I check off that formula, say, hey, I've done what God's called me to do, and so I'm okay. Well, not necessarily. What God wants is for his Spirit to start reasoning with us, to show us again who we are, so that actions in the future will align themselves with what God is really doing in and through us through his Spirit. Well, Anthony, great question today.
Okay.
And
we're out of time
on today's broadcast. You hold the line, and we'll see if we can get you on the next one. You hold on, okay?
Yes, indeed. And friends, please keep in mind that Basic Gospel remains on the air every day because of your prayers and gifts. And to express our thanks for your generous gift in any amount, we'll send you a copy of The Hurt and the Healer, as we said earlier in the broadcast. It's by Bart Millard and Andrew Farley. You know, we all hurt. We all need healing. If not today, then at some future point. But where do we find it? Bart and Andrew wrote The Hurt and the Healer to show the way, and it's your gift from us for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Make your gift and request your copy by going online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Again, 1-800-727-2828. The Hurt and the Healer, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. While you're online at basicgospel.net, click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list. You'll get late news and information about the ministry and about upcoming events. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. And when you go online, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at basicgospelrdo. That's basicgospelrdo. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.